help us, Lord, with your word. I just lift up this family to you today, Lord, and also your children, and the family who's lived and served you. And I just ask, God, that you bring what no one else can bring to their hearts, a sense of comfort, encouragement, and hope. You're a great God. We praise you, and we adore you, and we thank you, Lord, for this life that you've given us. And Lord, I just pray that you would comfort this family at this time. And I pray, Father, that you would bless those who travel to express their love and to comfort this family. Thank you, God, for what you're about to do. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful letter from the heart of his mom. And I just ask, God, that you give us strength for this hour. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm so glad that you're all here today. It says so much about you. And I know this family appreciates your words of comfort, the food, the cards, the hugs, the prayers, everything that you've done to express your love and concern for them is very much appreciated by them and me also. It's been my privilege to be their pastor for the over 7.5 years now. And Brother Johnny and Miss Ramona are Sunday school teachers in this church. Brother Johnny's been a deacon here for many years, but he's also a friend, and he's also a man who knows how to share his faith with others. They're very evangelistic in being open in the ministry of this church to share their faith on college campuses in any way that we could possibly do that. Just a few weeks ago, before school was out, we have a Chinese ministry here, and I meet with him every other Friday night to do a Bible study. And I certainly don't do it in Chinese, but I do a Bible study with them every other Friday night. And Brother Johnny and Mr. Ramona invite them out to their house to the lake and to let them learn how to fish, these Chinese students, and to do something they had not done. And they prepared a meal for them, and Rusty was there that day and to help us out with that meal. And Hunter's been there to do the very same thing. Many Sundays over these past 7.5 years, I've stood right here and looked up at the balcony and see Rusty and Hunter sitting there, his brothers. And now when church is over, they don't hang around and talk a lot, you know what I mean? But if you do speak to them, you do talk to them, they'll talk to you. But they just don't initiate a lot of conversation. They're not both conversationalists, but they're both great young men, and I love them very much, and thank God for them. And it's been a pleasure to be Johnny and Ramona and Hunter's pastor for years. Hunter's always helped us out with our sound system. Anytime we had a funeral or a service here or a wedding, the two of them were here to help to take care of things. And so you can see the kind of confidence that I have in them and their love for the Lord. I want to share a passage of scripture with you from Psalm 46. I don't know why David, or why the psalmist, I said David, but why the psalmist was so upset. Something had caused him to feel a great weakness, a sense of like he wasn't in control, and he sensed this need. And when he did, he turned his mind toward the Lord. And guys, that's always our answer. When we're afraid or when we're hurt or when we're in need, we can always turn our hearts and minds toward the Lord. But whatever was bothering him, he sensed that the only hope that he had was in what he knew about the Lord. So listen to what the psalmist says in Psalm 46, these 11 verses. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Even though the earth be moved, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, there is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. God shall help her, just at the break of dawn. The nations raged and the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who hath made desolation in the earth. He makes war cease in the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. These were words that when the psalmist saw the turmoil and things that were going on around him in the world, his heart and mind turned back to the word of God and to the voice of God. And he could hear that in his mind. And he took comfort and strength in that. And that's what this family is doing today. They're resting on the promises of God's word. They know the voice of God and they recognize it because their foundation is that sure foundation of Christ Jesus. A few weeks ago, we had Bible school here at this church. And the little boy who, he's about to turn 9, he asked this question. How do you hear God's voice? And I said to him, through hearing the word of God. And the more often you come to church, and the more often you read your Bible, and the more often you're in Sunday school, and the more often you hear the word of God, one day you'll learn to recognize the voice of God. The Bible says in Romans 10:17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The only reason that people don't recognize the voice of God and hear the word of God is because they're not under the word of God. Because when people are under the word of God, they're going to hear God's voice. His second question was this: how do you know it's God's voice? Now that's a pretty good question. And I just assured him that in listening, and his mom and his dad bring him to church, and as he learns, he's going to have confidence and he's going to recognize the voice of God one day. I said, one day you'll know that it's God speaking to you. And he said, Brother Jerry, does he tug on your heart? And I said, well, that's what we say. But he speaks to our mind and to our hearts from his word. And listen, at the end of the week, that little boy got his mom and they came to my office. And I sat down in just a few minutes and shared the plan of salvation with that little boy. I have a picture on my wall. It's a huge picture of Jesus knocking at the door. Now, he was speaking to Israel as a nation, which is a sad picture. He's begging to come into his own people, into his own nation. But he stands outside the door and knocks. And what he says to them, he says to us too. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, he makes a promise. I will come in. And I asked him, I said, Thomas, who's that picture on the wall? And he said, oh, that's Jesus. I said, we don't know if that's what he looks like, but we know that when we see a picture like that, we all say Jesus, right? And I said, what's he doing? And he said, oh, he's knocking at the door. I said, well, Thomas, is there anything different about that door? And he said, he looked for a little bit. He said, oh, there's no doorknob. I said, that's right. I said, because that door represents your heart. And Thomas, Jesus will never force his way into a person's life. He has to be invited. And you have to be the one to invite him. And there's only one key that opens that door, and that's faith. And I simply asked him this, Thomas, do you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead? And he said, I do. And I said, with all your heart? And he said, I do. I believe it, Brother Jerry. And I said, well, the Bible says in Romans 10:8, what saith it? The word is near you, even in your heart and in your mouth. I said, don't you find it funny that he would mention your mouth? But he said, he's so near you, he's in your heart and in your mouth. That, verse 9. If we believe in our hearts and confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, he makes a promise that God has raised him, that you will be saved. I said, Thomas, do you believe that? And Thomas said, Brother Jerry, I believe that. And I said, Thomas, did you just do what the Bible said? You really confessed to me openly and unashamedly? And you believe that God raised Jesus from the dead? And you could see a big smile come across his face because he knew he had. And guys, that little boy heard the voice of God. And he gave his heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I baptized him just a week or so ago, right here. We have a God And he says to all of us today, I am your refuge and strength. I'm your present help in times of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. That's what this family has been knowing and understanding all their lives. If you go to their house, they talk about the Lord. If you're here in church, they talk about the Lord. The Lord was the most important thing in their lives. And He still is. And our faith and confidence is not in man, but in the Lord.
To read a couple scriptures as I processed Rusty's passing. As I just came back from a spiritual high in my life at a 10-day camp meeting, and I get the word that Rusty passed, I was very sad. Because I believe I lost a friend that had a heart filled with love. A man that wanted to help people, to help the church, and help and just reach out in love. And so when I was looking at scriptures to share, I wanted to share two scriptures with you. and then I'll share a few words. The scriptures come out of 1 Corinthians 15. It says, in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead and the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? You foolish man. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. But God gives it a body as he has chosen. So is it with the resurrection of the dead? What is sown is perishable, but what is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, but it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, and it is raised in power. It is sown a physical body, it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a physical body, there is also a spiritual body. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. I tell you this, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. For this perishable nature must put on the imperishable, and this mortal nature must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. I'd also like to read Ephesians 3. It says this, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth, to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who by the power of work within us is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, to him be the glory of the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. I'm so grateful that my life interacted and crossed paths with Rusty. Rusty came to our church a few times, and I was wondering, who's the guy in the back with the beard? Robbie said, oh, that's my buddy. So I got to meet Rusty. And so Rusty would listen to my sermons, and just like Brother Jerry, he didn't hang around too long, so I had to sprint to the back to catch him before he ran out the door. But I did. And so I got to interact with him a little bit. And what's so strange is young people, these young guys' age, they have a busy life, and they're going and going and going. They're like the energized bunny rabbit or something. And you go, wow, how do I get in their world as a pastor? And so, of course, I always think about what is it that we need to do at the church that I can invite these young guys to come in and give their muscles, which Rusty was strong. And so I cast a vision of the horrible hedges around our church that needed to be cut. Guess who said, I can cut those hedges? Rusty. Strangely enough, we said, well, we'll be there at 8 a.m. We'll meet. And I'm thinking it might be just him and me. I didn't know for sure. And pretty soon, I come around the corner around 8 o'clock, and there's a whole crew out there. He had ladders, multiple trimmers and rakes, and I mean everything to do the job. I was late at 8. They were there. They had a bunch done already. I'm looking at a couple of them that was there to help. And it's so wonderful to know that he was willing and they are willing to serve the church. But you just have to ask. Listen, Rusty was a guy that said, I will. And you know that. I don't have to preach that. You know that. In your experiences with him, if it needed to be done, he's the first one that says, let's do it. It wasn't like, let's contemplate it and we'll think it out and think it through. And he was a pretty quick thinker. I think he could think on his feet really well. And it didn't take him very long to figure anything out because he was a pretty smart boy. Young man, I'll say. You know, I have a daughter his age, and I'm just saddened for your loss. I really am. But we can rejoice today because I know Rusty in a way that I got to talk to him one-on-one, and he knew Jesus. And you know, that's what it's all about. It's not about, you know, how good you are or what struggles you go through. Because let me tell you, I preached a sermon last night about struggles in life. Doing a revival up in Forkland. It's like every one of us have things and issues that we struggle with. And I don't care who you are. I can look right here at Jerry. I can look in a mirror at myself. Every one of us deal with issues. And what we need to do is recognize Jesus is the answer to them all. And as we call out to Jesus, as we lean on him, he'll take us. If we just take his hand, he'll lead us. He will guide us and direct us. He will open up doors for us to provide for our families. He will open up doors for us to walk through to do ministry. He will close doors that you shouldn't go through. What I really want to emphasize today is the love that I saw in Rusty. It didn't matter who you were, what you were wearing, what you had to offer him. He was willing to do for other people. He had the love of God in his heart without a shadow of a doubt. And I would almost guarantee I could ask any one of you to stand up and share a story of Rusty. And it was because of his love toward you that you could testify. I know I'm going to miss him. Our last interchange, if you will, was about 3 weeks ago. Robbie and Rusty came on Saturday morning. We're painting in our church to finish up and do some trim work. And here he was, climbing up a ladder. He said, Brother Tony, you don't need to be way up there. Here he goes, right up there, cutting in way up in our ceiling, the trim work, willing to do. You know, he attended our church. He's not a member of my church. He's willing to come and help, and he doesn't even have a dog in the fight, if you will. He has no ownership in my church at all. He just wanted to help. I don't know about you, but if we can get anything from Rusty's life, I think that's one of the greatest things we could ever take from him. As his witness to us was to be willing to help and to love people unconditionally, not because of what they had or what they could offer him or what they could do for him, just pure, unconditional love. I don't know if I'd be speaking out of turn, but I think if Rusty could have a word to you. He would say, I'd like to see you again. Because he did like gatherings. He did like to have fun. And we all know that. I mean, I've seen pictures of him on the river, you know. And with some of these folks right here that are going to carry him out and put him in the grave. And you know how much fun loving of a person he was. But if he could speak today, I think he'd say, I'd like to see you again. Let's get together again. And so the only way that we can is to know Jesus and to see him again in heaven. I love Rusty. And I'm grateful that I got to come and speak today on his behalf and on the Lord's behalf. May you be blessed. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, it is wonderful. It is wonderful that we know you and that we are celebrating Rusty's life. We're thankful for the memories that we have with him. And we'll cherish those memories, Lord God, as we journey in our own life and through our own struggles. Lord, we pray that we'll call upon you to help us. I would ask, Lord God, that you would comfort our hearts, all of our hearts, for this loss, for heaven's gain, for his life that he shared with us, even though so short. We just pray that you would help us to learn, to live, and to glorify your holy name. As we leave this place, or even as we go to the committal of his body to the grave, we know one day, Lord, we'll get to see him again if we know you. So we rejoice in his witness that he left behind, and we pray for this family and his friends to continue to call out upon you for help in their time of need. Keep us, Lord, in your loving arms. Embrace us and comfort our hearts and our souls and our sadness and our time of grieving. Lord, help us to rejoice knowing where he is, that he's in a much better place than we are. And so, Lord, we thank you for your presence in this building, in our lives, and in this service. Now may we go with peace in our hearts to comfort us, Lord God, that you would comfort us, and that you will keep us from harm's way as we journey with Jesus through the rest of our lives on this earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
In Psalm 124:8, it says, "Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth." In Psalm 103:17, it says, "The steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting, upon those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children." For as much as the spirit has departed, has returned to God who gave it. For therefore we commit Rusty's body to this ground, earth to earth and ashes to ashes, dust to dust, looking for the general resurrection in the last day, and the life of the world to come through our Lord Jesus Christ, at whose coming in glorious majesty to judge the world. The earth and the sea shall give up their dead, and the corruptible bodies of those who sleep in him shall be changed and made like unto his own glorious body, according to the mighty workings whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us."
The Bible says in Romans 8, verses 18 and 19, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, and who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril of sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." That's the hope that we rest in today. That's our sure foundation in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we've come today as far as we can go. And Lord, we've tried our very best, Lord, to lift up your name and glorify you as this family has done with their lives. Now I pray, Father, that you would strengthen them for the coming days. Help them in every decision that must be made. Comfort them, Lord, with your presence. Surround them, Lord, and let them sense, Lord, that you're directing their path. I just ask, God, that you put your hand upon them in such a way as, Lord, that they'll just be your loving, willing servants to continue to walk before you, Lord, as you intended. Thank you, Father, for all that you do for us. Thank you for these who've come to show their love. And I just ask, God, that you watch over them, protect them as they travel back to their homes. Thank you, Father, for being with us today, for allowing us to sense your presence with us, to encourage us and comfort us and build us up. Thank you, Father, for your word, so sweet. We just ask, God, that you have your way now in every heart and life, and that everything we do and said, Lord, would have honored and glorified you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray and ask.